First of all, I don't like you.
Hi, if you're listening.
So I speak Arabic, French, English, Turkish, and German.
Let's make the language super difficult.
De Adidas, then.
Gracias,
that's it.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the new episode of the Promola podcast. My name is Tori Torn, and I'm a language enthusiast who happened to be your host today. Our podcast offers two unique formats to cater to all your language learning needs. The pro part of the podcast, hosted by me, focuses on advanced learning strategies and insightful interviews with language learning experts. On the other hand, the MOVA part of the podcast, led by my colleague Kate, dives deep into fundamental English concepts like grammar, vocabulary, and pronunciation. So, whether you are seeking for insights or trying to master language basics, ProMOVA has you covered. But before we jump into today's episode, let me quickly introduce who we are. ProMOVA is not just a language learning app. No. We're a community of passionate learners and dedicated educators committed to helping you reach your full language potential. I'm super excited to introduce you to someone very special today. She's not just an expert in languages, a teacher, and a polyglot, but also a social media sensation who's inspired millions of people learn English. Meet Marwa, aka Miss English Teacher.
Wow, Tori. Thank you so much for the amazing introduction. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of this amazing podcast created by ProMOVA. I hope that you're going to enjoy this episode. And let me tell you a little bit more about myself. I think Tori said it all. So my name is Marwa. You can call me Maria, no problem. I am an English teacher, and I have been teaching English for over 12 years. I started my career back in Turkey. And first, I started teaching children. Then I focused more on adults. And then I was like, yeah, this is more for me. And most of my teaching is based on interaction. And the biggest problem that my students have usually is, you know, speaking in English and sounding like a native. And that's what I've been doing for the last 12 years. So I majored actually in English literature and English teaching. And I'm a certified business English coach. I also teach IELTS. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the exams. I'm also a certified coach. And that's about me.
Thank you so much for telling us more about yourself and joining us today. I'd like to talk to you more. So we'll start our conversation. And enough with the formalities. Let's get into my conversation with Marwa. I promise you'll find her story and advice super interesting and helpful. So Marwa, I'd like to start our conversation with a little blitz round of quick questions about English learning. I call it the lightning round. Are you down for that?
Absolutely. Shoot.
Okay, then let's start. What's your favorite English word and why?
What's my favorite English word and why? I have a couple of words that I actually really like. One that comes to mind is flabbergasted.
Okay, flabbergasted.
I don't know why, but whenever you say it, you sound so smart and everybody's like, what was that? And it actually means that you're shocked or surprised. You're like, flabbergasted. And it sounds like the emotion. So,
yeah. So that's a quite difficult word, I would say. What's your evaluation? It's for C1 or C2 level?
Oh yeah, it's pretty academic. Yeah, so I would say it's B2, C1, and you should not really use it on a daily basis.
Really?
So it's more, it's rather formal.
If you could have a superpower related to language learning, what would it be and why?
A superpower, not like a magical pill.
No, more something connected to language learning. What bugs you the most, or what's your itch? What's getting under your skin?
All right. So for me, if I had a superpower as an English teacher and it's related to English learning, okay, I would love to channel the things that I see about my students that they don't see about themselves. In a sense, that may, let me explain.
Okay.
Many of my students do an amazing job. They sound so fluent. They're really good, but they always doubt themselves. And I say to them, no, you're doing an amazing job. And they're like, you're just saying that because you're my teacher and you like me. I'm like, first of all, I don't like you.
That's what I want for you to say.
You pay me well. I'm joking. But I'm really saying that because I'm honest and I'm sincere. So that would be the superpower that I'd really like to have, to make people really see and really appreciate their efforts. So that would be what I would really want them to do.
That is so nice of you. You're always thinking about other people, not yourself. That is so selfless. I love it. Seriously, I love it. Okay, the third question. What's the funniest English-related mistake you've ever heard or made yourself?
Okay. I'm going to give you an example. It just happened 2 days ago. And so I was teaching one of my students. Hi, if you're listening. I was teaching her the word to scroll up and down.
Like the word or the
motion? Yeah, the word.
Okay.
So I was teaching. So I shared my screen. And okay, she wanted me to go up and down. I was like, yeah, you should say scroll up and scroll down.
Down. Okay.
But she didn't hear the word scroll. She heard roll.
Okay.
And she was like, Marwa, roll down. And I just imagined myself rolling on the floor to do what she wants me to do. And I was like, roll. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That is seriously hilarious. Oh my gosh. I love people, really. They are making such fun mistakes and then don't realize that, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one. A word you always mispronounce. I don't really think you mispronounce any words. You have such a background in learning languages and teaching English, but I guess sometimes it slips out. So what's the word?
Well, funnily enough, I do mispronounce some words because I grew up speaking Arabic, English, and French at the same time. So, and of course, English was mostly at home, but Arabic and French were the languages I was taught in because I grew up in Tunisia. So I was born and raised in Tunisia, and I grew up speaking these three languages. And there is a huge influence of French. So that's why sometimes I can pronounce words more like in a French way. So yeah, the word saw, sometimes I can say sue because it's too, I don't know, it doesn't sound really cool for me. Or for example, the word, you know, when you get money from an ATM, the word withdraw with this wall. And me, I would say more like withdraw. Or make it a little bit that softer. So, yes.
Let's back to our conversation, to the main questions I'd like to I'd like you to answer. I know. So, you mentioned that your native country is Tunisia, and you speak Arabic there, and a bit of French, and also English. That's already three languages, which is very impressive. But what are other languages that you can speak?
I'd like to add something to that. So, for example, everybody in Tunisia, we speak Tunisian. So we don't really speak Arabic. This is a dialect. So every country, let's say like Syria, Iraq, they have a different dialect. So if I speak to someone from Iraq, they would not really understand me. They might understand 50% of what I say, but not everything. So literally, we grow up speaking a language at home, And because of my mom and family, we speak also English. And then you go to school and you start learning Arabic and French. And you're like, all right, so you're already at your third language as a regular Tunisian.
Okay.
And then after when I turned 22, I decided to travel and experience the world. And I don't know if you're familiar with ISEC, but this is like, I forgot exactly, I don't know if it's an association, but they find you internships around the world.
Okay.
And I found one in Turkey. And actually, I went to Turkey for 2 months and I ended up living there for 10 years.
Wow, you must love the country.
I do. It's my second home. I love all of my Turkish friends, Turkish people. I love the language. And that's how I learned Turkish. Then when I was in Turkey and I think I learned Turkish after 3-4 years, I was already like super fluent. And then I went to Spain and I fell in love with Barcelona. And I was like, oh, I need a challenge. And then I started learning Spanish. And within a year, I reached B1 level. And then I met my partner and I had to move to Germany.
Okay.
So I started learning German. And now my German is roughly B2. But I forgot all of my Spanish. So, yeah. So I speak Arabic, French, English, Turkish, and German.
So I counted 7 languages. Right.
Technically not. So the first Tunisian is not really a language.
Okay.
It's Spanish. I would understand you, but I cannot answer. I'll be like, si.
Okay.
Gracias. That's it. I'll be like, I can understand what you're saying. I can talk.
I know what you're talking about. I've been trying to learn German for like 4 years in high school and then 2 years by myself because I thought that like, okay, I know English, but now I have to get another foreign language. And then I thought, since I've already been trying to learn German, why not to proceed with that? And the thing, when you don't really like the language, it's just such a pain to do that. So after taking two years of classes of German, I decided to stop torturing myself and went with the Spanish. And that was the smartest decision ever. So yeah, I personally understand you in terms like I can understand some German, but I can say nothing except of like, I don't know, ich liebe dich. There was a Saint Valentine Day not so long ago, so that would be helpful for people.
Sure, with most languages, you have to like the language. With German, you have to love it.
Yeah, I guess so.
You have to love it because I have a theory. So when people were setting up the rules of German, they were like, okay, guys, if there was a spy among us, and that person is speaking German, how can we tell that person is a spy?
Or
like, let's make the language super difficult. And then just introduce daddy das, them.
Oh my gosh. That is just a nightmare. That is just a nightmare. You know what? In Ukraine, I'm from Ukraine. And in Ukraine, we have this famous quote of the famous poet. And I was trying, it's about languages, and I was trying to translate it into English correctly because there is the word a person or a human being. So I could use either that or that because in Ukrainian it's the same word. And this quote says, how many languages you know is how many time you are a person.
Wow.
And I was really thinking about that recently, trying to understand what she was trying to say and what she was meaning by that. And I came up with a great idea that might be connected to our personalities. I believe you've seen those videos on TikTok where people are showing the way they're talking in different languages and they kind of feel that their personality shifts. And even their voices sound different. So what I'd like you to do, could you please demonstrate how, I don't know, like the voice and a bit of personality can change when you shift languages? Could you say the same sentence in the languages you speak?
All right, absolutely. I 100% agree with that saying. And I want to show you how that reflects on my personality. So this is how I sound when I speak in English. هذا صوتي كي نتكلم بالتونسي.
That was Arabic?
Yes, that was Tunisian.
Okay.
Yeah. Ça, c'est ma voix quand je parle en français.
French?
Yeah, very good. Also, das ist meine Stimme, wenn ich Deutsch rede.
Okay, German?
Yes. Yeah, very good. I forgot the word that means voice in Turkish. Ama ben Türkçe konuşurken böyleyim. Küçücük bir kız. So my voice in Turkish makes me sound like a little bit of a child or a kid.
Yeah, it's getting higher a bit, but it's very cute.
So yeah, so this is how I sound when I speak those different languages.
By the way, if you enjoyed today's chat, and I'm sure you will, don't forget to like this episode, subscribe to our channel, and hit the bell icon to receive notifications about upcoming episodes. We'll be sharing insider tips and tricks to help you master English and other languages easily. Also, we'd be over the moon if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast platform of your choice. Your support means the world to us. I also wanted to ask you about Arabic. Recently, Promova created a study at the end of the 2023. We decided to see what are the most popular languages to learn. We created a study of the Google searches and TikTok trending words in requests consisting the word learn and the language. And we found out that Arabic actually is getting really popular. And I wanted to hear your opinion on why is that so? What do you think about that?
Honestly, I didn't know about this. I'm a bit surprised to hear that. I would like to think that my character, Habibi, do you know Ryan Gosling? His name rings a bell. The bell? I don't hear anything.
No, silly. Look.
I'm ringing the bell, but his name rings a bell. It means it reminds me of something. It sounds familiar.
Ah. Habibi, follow for more. Made the language pop.
That was very, very self-centered answer. I absolutely have no idea why the language is becoming more and more popular, honestly. It is a beautiful language. It's very rich. And honestly, many people would struggle learning it because if you see the way it's written, it flows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have calligraphy. It's one of the most beautiful arts, I personally find. What I find probably challenging for most learners is that they're going to learn the official standard Arabic that we study at school. And then they're going to go to different countries, like, you know, to test out their Arabic learning and experience. And they'll be like, nobody talks like the app. Like, no one. Heads up. In regardless of the country. So maybe, I think maybe in Iraq or in Saudi Arabia, they will speak a little bit more similar to the app. But
I see. Okay, thanks. And since you mentioned your Instagram, I really want to say to you guys, to our listeners, that you can follow Marwa on Instagram and subscribe to her YouTube channel. You will find all the links in the description of this video. I also wanted to talk about the expanding horizons, meaning how languages can expand our horizons. And I recently came across a study that found that multilingualism can actually improve cognitive skills, such as problem solving and multitasking. So I wanted to ask you, and to find out your opinion. What are your personal thoughts on the cognitive benefits of language learning? And can you share from your own experience where you've noticed these benefits firsthand or when you were teaching someone?
Well, absolutely. This is one of the things that is known to help people improve. So for example, based on some studies, I'm not very good with the stats. I cannot recall the stats. But if people take up a language later on as adults, I'm not so sure if it impacts exactly their risks of getting Alzheimer's, but it for sure helps them keep their brain younger. So learning a second language has got so many benefits. So let's start with the most known benefits. Okay, if you speak English, let's take English as an example because I teach English. Of course, you're going to probably have better chances at getting a better job, you will get probably a better university, right? So you can enroll at better universities, this and this and this. It actually opens doors. This is from a practical point of view. The other point of view is if you have a child that grows up speaking two languages, the brain does not really work the same way as a person who grows up speaking only one language.
Okay, and how does it work?
I'm not so sure, but they are probably no exactly because I don't remember exactly the many things that I've read about growing up as a bilingual child. But for sure, they're more creative. They are more resourceful. If you speak a second language, it's much, much easier for you to learn a third and a fourth and a fifth. One more thing that is my personal opinion is the following. When you grow up speaking one language, language is not just a tool. Language is a living thing. It's a culture. It's everything that comes with it. You learn how to think in that language. You learn the values of your culture in that language. And then when you learn a second language, it's very, very likely that you're going to learn a new culture, new values, and that will make you as a person more open-minded.
True.
You will have
I agree with that.
A different perspective. You will see how other people think about that. And that will help you grow and become more mature and become more tolerant and accept more the others and not be afraid of the other or of the other culture, but actually embrace it and see that this is rich and see the good stuff that you can get from it and become more, you know, global in that sense. So I think if everybody today woke up and everyone just decided to learn a second language, there will not be a racist person anywhere anymore.
I guess
I'm talking
virtually
true.
I guess. Yeah. I like that. I truly love that. And since you mentioned like the prevention of Alzheimer in language learning, I really wanted to say that when I was taking German classes, I had a lot of senior people in my class because their doctor recommended them to learn a new language to like kind of postpone those things. And I don't know why they decided to learn German specifically, but that was their choice. And
they needed a challenge.
That's totally a challenge. So I know that you currently live in Germany, and I wanted to ask you about your German level. You mentioned somewhere that you currently reached B2. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, the thing is this. I do live in Germany. I had a couple of courses. However, I'm not exposed to the language as I should be. Mm-hmm. Most of my friends speak English. At home, I speak English.
work, English. So I have like this comfort zone. I reached this level because like I had a course that was like 100 hours in a month. And I'm not honestly actively trying to improve my English, my German, unfortunately. Okay. But I know if I did a little bit more, my level would be much better. So,
okay. So how difficult was it to learn German for you? And what was like the most difficult part?
The first thing that was really difficult was, you know, like when you start learning basic words like sorry, and then German hits you with Entschuldigung. And you're like, wow, if that's sorry, I'm gonna have trouble learning this language. For me, what I still find very difficult, so you know that different languages, they have certain sound constellations. So you have, for example, in Spanish, like for me, this is what I find difficult. If I have a V and an R and an H, they need to be a bit spaced out so I can make the consonants and so on. But German clusters all of these together. So for me, like saying words like verheiratet or ich bin verheiratet, I still cannot say it because for me saying V and H and doing the A sound in between, like is not used to moving that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I find the most difficult thing for me, all right. So we talked about daddy das and all of that.
Yeah. That's just for our listeners, that the articles in German, and they are different for each word, and you cannot detect the article by the ending of the noun. You just have to remember the article and the noun that goes with it. And then
simple. No, if you put it at the beginning.
At all.
Exactly. If you put it in the beginning, then it's different. If you put it in the middle, then it's different. If you add with, then it becomes that team and it's different. So the article der, I think, has 12 forms. And I'm not so sure if it's 12 or if I'm exaggerating, but depending on different factors, if it's feminine, masculine, or neutral, if it's in the beginning, the middle, if it's whatever, dative or subjunctive. So there are so many rules. I skip that one. I just use the first letter that is D, and I just skip the error, us, whatever. So that, I fixed it. But what I find very difficult is the pronunciation of some words that are very long, and, you know, the vowels and consonants together, and that. I find it difficult.
Recently, I saw the post on your Instagram that you got this silver button from YouTube, but you hit like 200,000 followers a long time ago. But did you receive this button only now?
No, actually, I got it. I got it like around July, and I shared a post about it too.
Okay.
It's just a repost. The thing is this, unfortunately, with the algorithm of Instagram, not all of my followers see everything that I share. So from time to time, I tend to repost an older thing. And just like yourself, for example, probably you didn't see the video because I shared a reel first. And then after a couple of months, I shared a picture. And unfortunately, not everybody sees everything. So I need to...
I see. I get it. But honestly, 200K on YouTube subscribers, that's just mind-blowing. Congrats on that. You've done a great job. And also 3 million people following you on Instagram. That is also like a huge, huge thing. And I guess you doubled the amount of followers just in a year. Is that correct?
I am so grateful to everyone that is supporting me. If I told you that I actually posted my very first video exactly 2.5 years ago.
Okay. So
I went from zero to 3 million followers in less than 2.5 years.
And it's just crazy. Yeah.
That's impressive. The reason
why sometimes you just see that my numbers get doubled is just like sometimes you feel very inspired. So you write really good videos that everyone sees. Okay. And sometimes, you know, you have a period of like, oh, I don't feel inspired. And then everyone is like, Mari, your video is bad. So, yeah.
There is no bad videos from you. I'm sure about that.
So sweet.
You were saying there are moments when you feel so inspired and some moments you don't feel that. So what inspires you to create the videos, the content? It's a difficult job to do. Everyone thinks it's so easy, but to come up with the idea and then a scenario and then play it, that's a lot of job to do.
I think the easiest part is acting it out. I enjoy acting when I was a kid too. I loved that. I was always the first in drama class with all of my costumes and everything. Who inspires me is the funny part. So whenever my student makes a mistake, I'm like, writing? And they're like, Mara, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. I'm not writing a real test. You're not going to see this mistake in my next video. My students mostly inspire me and so I try to be always in touch with them so that I have things that are relevant and useful for everyone who follows me.
So I really wanted to talk about one of your rubrics on Instagram. It calls Don't Know It, Show It. If I'm correct.
Oh, yeah. Don't know it, just show it.
Yeah. So can you explain to our listeners what this rubric is about and how it benefits your audience?
This is my experience in German. So sometimes I wanna get something and I go somewhere. Like I remember once I was at this hotel and then I needed a robe and nobody understood me. And I was like... And then the woman was like, oh... I forgot the word again in German, Badezug or something. I'm just making something up. I was like, okay. Oh, I bet many of my students feel like me. So why not just do it every day? I was lucky because the other person understood me. I could have been doing that for hours and nobody would understand me. But I feel in our daily experience, communication is very important. So if you know the word,
true,
go ahead and use the word. If you don't know it, just show it.
So actually being a language learner yourself helps you to be a better language expert and a blogger and influencer. Is that correct?
I think so. I believe so because I really feel the same way. So you're trying to learn English? I have experienced that when I was learning Turkish. I remember I was living in Turkey and I was learning Turkish and I had classes and I couldn't say anything more than hello for 8 months. I was so frustrated. Mm-hmm. Until one time I met this person that I was working with a project. So I was working with this person on a project and then I needed to communicate with that person. And then we started using our hands and that person didn't speak any English. And I've been taking Turkish classes for 8 months, but I couldn't talk. And that need of communicating actually broke the whole pattern of I understand, but I cannot speak. This is one thing. So when I was learning Turkish, so I always recommend everyone, this is my advice, find a teacher who does not speak your language. You will see. Also, I experienced the same thing. I went to a nightclub and it was very cold outside.
Okay.
So I asked for a shawl. Guess what I got?
A shot, probably.
Right? I got a cup of tea. Come on, the pronunciation was so bad that the person brought me chai instead of a shawl.
It was like, insane.
In a nightclub, bringing me a cup of tea just because my pronunciation is so bad. So I do understand the frustration of having a bad pronunciation. I don't care. Everybody, when I speak Turkish, after living there for 10 years, everybody knows that I'm a foreigner, that I'm not a native speaker. But what is important is everyone understands me. So there is a difference between focusing on having the correct pronunciation when it matters and having an accent. Everybody knows that I'm not from Turkey. Nobody cares. They think it's
cute. Yeah.
But they understand me. And if my accent is the problem that hinders understanding, then at that point, you need to focus more on pronunciation, not accent.
True. I believe pronunciation matters a lot. And, you know, people mess up a lot, and that might cause them something really important, especially when they mispronounce something like shit and sheet, you know, like those two words, or when they say focus in not very articulated way, so they got what they got. And honestly, I don't really think that Turkish man or woman in a nightclub, they didn't get what you were trying to say. Probably there were a lot of music, so they couldn't hear anyone. So fault. That's not your fault at all. But yeah, of course, people can understand you are not coming from their country, but they will still be able to understand you if you worked on your pronunciation. Because for lots of people, that's a real pain in the ass. And for instance, currently I'm living in Italy. And I've been traveling. Thank you. And I've been traveling to Spanish and to Turkey lots of times. And every time I'm in one of those countries or in Italy, people assume because of how I look like, because of my appearance, that I'm one of the native speakers and try to talk to me in their language. And when I try to answer, they're like, oh, okay, that's they understand me, but the accent is still there, and it's okay. I guess it's not a bad thing to have an accent, because that's how you distinguish yourself and show your background, perhaps.
I love having an accent. And I don't know if it was Sofia Vergara, I think lately, incident?
That was not the incident.
Good evening. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association has an anal tradition. I didn't mean anal. I mean, they have an anus tradition. They have a tradition that they do every year of choosing a second-generation performer to assist in the presentation of the award.
I think she had an interview recently, and a person made fun of her accent.
Really?
I'm not so sure, but I think because I just read the titles, and I saw, like, this interviewer makes fun of her accent, and then the person is saying, like, hey, speak to... Oh, you think that my English accent is not very good? Oh, let's speak... In Ukrainian. Oh, so I'm smarter than you. I speak your language and your language. Stop making fun of me. So this is why I love having an accent. It's just a very low-key way of like, hey, I know your language, but I know other languages.
It's a low-key way to show off a bit, but that's okay, because you should be proud of your... of your skills in any language, you know, and not knowing it perfectly is totally fine. And I think being a language learner, being a teacher, and being a language influencer is three different things. So I'd like to ask you, how did you decide to become a teacher after having all of that experience in learning languages yourself? And how did you decide to turn it into a blogger thing?
Well, first things first, let's get this straight. I never thought I would be a teacher.
Interesting.
Yes.
And what about your education? You have an education.
Exactly.
In languages.
That's what happened. So in my last year of high school, last 2 years, I was learning Chinese.
And other
language. I forgot about that. Sorry. So I started learning Chinese, and the whole plan was for me to start studying Chinese at university and become an interpreter of, you know, Chinese, because I already spoke English, Arabic, and French. So I thought that I would, you know, be an interpreter of Chinese, English, and Chinese, French, Chinese, Arabic, and so on. So what happened, the year I graduated, they decided that the whole Asian language departments were not really working. So they had Korean, they had Japanese, Chinese, and so on. And every year they had just like, I don't know, 6-7 students. So they were like, this is a waste of money. Guess what? No more Chinese, no more Japanese, no more Korean this year. So I texted my best friend. I was like, hey, what's up? There's no more Chinese this year. And my best friend was like, guess what? I'm going to go to this university and I'm going to study English. And back then, this is how you... So you just send a code. You just send a code per SMS to whatever it is, the Ministry of Education, and they receive that code. So you just need to send your university choices. So the first code is your first choice, second choice, third choice, and so on.
Interesting system.
And my friend was like, I'm going to give you my code. Just send this code to. So I was like, okay, so that would be the first code. I looked at the other universities. I was like, okay, this would be my second choice. This would be my third choice. Yeah, I know English. I guess I'll study English. I sent the code. And then it was my first year. My second year, I started studying stuff like TEFL, like teaching English as a foreign language. And I looked at my professor and I was like, why are we studying this? She was like, you're going to become an English teacher. You will need this.
That was the moment you realized.
This is what that is for.
That's hilarious.
I didn't know I was going to be a teacher, but then I started teaching and I just loved it. I just like always being right.
So who you thought you would end up to be? Like what the profession you were about to gain?
Yeah, that was a very good question. I had absolutely no idea. I had one plan and my plan didn't work out. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to get a degree like everyone else and see how life turns out. That's me, more or less. And I'm so grateful. And this is the point. Life is a journey that will surprise you. You can plan it as much as you want,
but it cannot predict it.
Exactly. It just happens and you just need to learn to surf. And yeah, and I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know next year what's going to happen. I have no idea. I'm open. So Hollywood, if you're listening,
please connect Marva in her Instagram or through her YouTube or to Promova's Instagram, and we will give her personal contacts. I guess that's okay. For Hollywood.
Totally, Netflix, please.
For everybody who wants to work with Marwa. And speaking about Promova's Instagram, I encourage you to follow us on Instagram because we have a community of lifelong language learners who are dedicated to level up their language learning skills. And we are helping with that every single day by providing tips, tricks, insightful videos, and some of them are with Marwa. So you will see her more often. That's the perk of being on following Promova on Instagram. So you've been combining teaching and being a language influencer. How did it work for you in terms of the like time management? Because writing scenarios and coming up with ideas, it takes a lot of time, and also like speaking to your clients like Promova and having all of the communication to set the right video, to do it all the way we want or other client wants. And that's a hell of a job. And also preparing for your classes with people who have their language learning goals and they really want to succeed in what they do in terms of languages. It also takes a lot of time. So how do you time manage all of that?
Well, the first thing that helped me is actually being a workaholic. I would recommend that.
Not very wise, but okay.
Again, I'm joking. So the thing is this. I limit my teaching hours. So I have very, very limited. Yeah. So I teach just a couple of hours and not even every day of the week. So I have very few students. The other thing is I'm really well organized. So I have a system that helps me, you know, create, because I have a new video every day. And I have, of course, some people helping me with some stuff, but mostly like 95% of the work, I do it myself, everything. Okay. And yeah, and so I organize myself really well. So I know exactly on this day, I'm going to have that. This is planned and everything. And most importantly, I love what I do. So I really spend a lot of time working and trying to become better every day.
That sounds amazing. Have you ever thought about like hiring an assistant or, I don't know, a writer who would write the scripts for your videos?
Never. I mean, like,
why so?
Because that's one of the things that I enjoy most. So I really enjoy acting, and I like being like, I like that people see different sides of my personality. So of course there is Marwa, but there is a part of me that is Miss English teacher, and there is a part of me that is Omo Ahmed. You know that I am like this. And those are my personalities, I would say. And I like writing. And by the way, because I love writing so much, when I was a kid, one of my biggest dreams was to become an author. And it's happening.
Really? Becoming a writer in terms of the scripts, right? Where you're writing
a book. Not just that. I have just written a book with another amazing creator, Mike the Chameleon. So we work together on writing a book, and hopefully the book is coming out in 2 weeks. So now my publisher is finalizing it and everything. So I love writing those scenarios, and I love testing them out and seeing what people think about them. So yeah.
Thanks for talking to me. Thanks for taking time to share your story and insights with us today. I know our listeners found it truly inspiring, because so did I. And guys, that wraps up the first episode of the Promola podcast. And while you're waiting for the next one, stay hydrated and don't forget to learn a new word a day. A new word a day at your language level will be more than okay. See you soon. Hasta luego. A presto.
Bye. Thanks guys for having me.